And it's been a fantastic theme, I think, to go through. So helpful. Because many things in our life and in the world can seem very fluid, can be changing. But with God, we can be secure about our identity. It's something that He's determined for us. And because He wants us to live exceptional lives, and He's grounded our life in an identity that He has given us. With sin entering into the world, humanity, we haven't always been able to live, obviously, as God intends. But Jesus has come to reverse all that, God putting flesh on to show us what being human and our true identity actually looks like. And of course, He's paid the price for our sin, redeemed us, called us into a new life in Him that we can now choose to believe and walk in this wonderful identity that God has given us. So our identity, we must always, God's given it to us and Jesus, and in Jesus we get to really live that out. So far this month, we've gone, had a few weeks already discussing identity. The first one I kicked it off with, we've been made in the image of God. And we looked at quite a few things, but in Colossians 3:10 and Ephesians 4:24, Paul reiterates the fact that indeed we have been made in the image of God. And in that, we can see that to be in the image of God is to have who we are being renewed in the knowledge of God. So to be in God's image is to know God, not just to intellectually know who God is, but to actually experience God, to have relationship with God is all important. And to be holy. So that comes from Ephesians 4:24 when Paul writes, to be created like God in true righteousness and holiness. So with that, we know that God is calling us to be holy, and we have the holiness of Christ to live pure and blameless lives through Him and to have His righteousness, that we might be in right relationship with God and one another and have right thinking and right actions as well. And all this is made possible because of the life of Christ living in us by the Holy Spirit. And why is this important? Well, we get to reflect God's image, His glory to the world, so that when people, as we mix with other people in the world, they look at you and they say, "Oh, there's something different about you." So at some point in their life, when God really reaches into their life and makes connection, they'll be able to say, "Oh, I recognize something of God. I recognize you, God, because I've seen some of you in the people that I've met." So we get to help introduce people to the glory of God, the goodness of God, through imaging Him in the earth. After that, Simon talked to us about the fact as part of our identity, we are God's children. And we get to, again, experience this through our faith in Christ. In Ephesians 1:4-5, we read, in love, God predestined. He predetermined, decided before the foundations of the earth that we were to be adopted into the family of God, to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. And we looked at the fact that sons actually means all of us. It's using language that means we get the full inheritance, because only sons in that context got the full inheritance. So it's saying no matter who we are, all believers, we get to have everything that God intends for us through faith in Jesus, that we can all know that we are His children. And the Holy Spirit in us keeps reminding us of this wonderful fact and keeps making it real to us as well that we are indeed God's children. How awesome is that? It's fantastic. And I, you know, it's really important to remember that we are all children, because as any human child realizes, they really can't do much on their own, but they need their Father, and we need our Heavenly Father. So it's always good to remember we're children, no matter how old we get. And to always remember, God wants us to have childlike faith, always trusting, no matter what, no matter how hard a situation might be, we can know that God wants to meet us right where we're at and wants to help us, that He's approachable, that we can run to Him into His beautiful, loving presence. And we can have confidence in this world, have real confidence no matter where we go in life, because we know to whom it is that we belong. And I love that verse from Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? So wherever you go, if you know your Heavenly Father is right there with you, we don't need to be dismayed. Even when we are quivering in our boots, we can still keep moving forward because we know our Father loves us. You're His child, and it's wonderful. And last week, Toe presented to us the fact that it's a part of our identity that we are new creations. And we had a wonderful panel up here. We had Pat and John. No, we didn't have Pat. I'm looking at Pat. We should have had you, Pat. We had John and Nikki. And trying to flesh out this idea, what does it actually mean to be a new creation, and we discovered it's all happens because of the Spirit. And Jesus said, you know, don't be surprised by saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. It only happens because of the Spirit that is in us, causing our transformation from glory to glory. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, for if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And that new, as Toe was explaining, is not kind of upgraded from the old, but it's a completely new person, never before seen. You're unprecedented and wonderful new creations in Christ. And again, we are transformed now and led by the Spirit of God. We live differently. You know, we use different senses. Our spiritual senses come alive, and we're learning how to walk in a whole new different way as we move in this life. That's why next Saturday is going to be really important, because also that's all part of our journey of what it means to really listen to God's voice, and how do you speak that out? You know, what does it actually mean? What am I saying? What do I say? We're in a process. And why is this important? Because we are here as Christ's representatives. We're His ambassadors to bring reconciliation to others, that they also might get to see who this beautiful Jesus is and come to God, that they also may have fullness of life and life that is restored. So how awesome. God hasn't just given us identity, but a life of purpose. It's all for something. So we have a life of meaning as well. So, we are made in God's image. We are children of God. We're new creations. And all of this in order to bring reconciliation and restoration, giving us purpose to lost lives so that they might return to God. This is all a part of our identity. So today, we're going to add on to this. And today, I'm going to be talking about the fact that we're also, as a part of our identity, are kings and priests. So you are all kings and priests. And again, this is all made possible in Christ and through Christ. I really like this verse in Galatians 3:26-28. You are all sons of God. So we're all children who get the full inheritance. We get this through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, so we identify with the death of Christ, we die to self, and we rise up in the new life that we have in Christ. So all of us have been clothed now with Christ. And that Christ is the risen, renewed, glorified Christ. That's the life that we are now clothed with. And there is, and in this, there is, we're all included. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. This is wonderful. It doesn't matter where you've been born, what culture you're brought up with, whether you're male, female, young, old, it doesn't matter. We all have the same identity in Christ. How wonderful is that? I just think that's awesome. So good. We are all today here sons. We are all new creations, all the bride of Christ. We're all kings and we're all priests. So talking about kings and priests today, the whole idea of king and priest really stems back to right back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden, where God created Adam and Eve in his image to dwell in God's presence in wondrous relationship. And that really reflects that priestly role of being freely in God's presence, receiving and giving love to God and to one another. And God also gave them authority to rule like a king over creation. And that ruling was that they might bring life, life-giving power for great fruitfulness in the earth, to rule in this generous, wonderful way. And when Adam, unfortunately, when Adam and Eve sinned, they handed that authority over to Satan, that authority that was intended for us, for all humanity. And their priestly function of relationship with God, of worship and service, was also broken at that point. But thankfully, when Jesus came, this part of our identity was fully restored. And we can see that in Scripture, Jesus is spoken of as a priest, high priest and king. Our lives are now in him, and as he is, so are we. So for us as Christians, to be called kings and priests signifies this dual identity that really stems from our relationship with Christ. And, you know, the deeper our relationship with Jesus, the deeper our authority as well. You know, as we're willing to submit and love and receive the love of God, the greater the authority we'll have, because we will image and we will walk in the authority of God. We'll know what his authority looks like and how he mediates it to us. We will be trusted with bigger things from God to walk in those things. So the deeper the relationship, the deeper the authority and the presence of God that we get to bring. Now we are called to both rule with Christ spiritually now and also literally in the future, and we see that in Scripture. And also as priestly role, we get to serve as intercessors and to offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and sacrifice of worship and representing God to the world. So let's just think about this whole idea of being a king. What does it really look like for us? Let's flesh that out. So obviously it's emphasising this sense of authority and the sense of influence that we have in the world. And through faith, our faith in Christ, we are now empowered to live a life of victory, that we can overcome sin and negative influences. And we are also called to exercise dominion in our spheres of influence, reflecting God's rule. So that's interesting. I wonder what we think about that. Do you feel like a king or a queen? Do you feel like royalty today? Do you consider yourself as a person of significance and of influence? Because in Scripture, we are told that we are overcomers. You already have the victory over sin and Satan and death. You already have it. We're now just called to walk in the victory we have. So, okay, we have the victory. How are we going to do this? How are we going to walk out this authority that we have now? Well, what's really important in all this is that we are actually convinced of our identity, that this is actually you. You actually have this. You've been given this identity of king and priest, of authority, of influence. So in that, this is where we need to trust and have faith in what God has said is real and right. We can trust in God's promises and not trust instead on our feelings or wait for our feelings to catch up with this reality, but we can actually walk in the reality. And we need to agree by faith, this is who you are now in Christ. It's totally who you are. And we need to do this every day. And it's as we do it every day that we're actually partnering with God's processes in our life. And His transformation is taking hold. And we don't have to work, remind ourselves every day so much, because we're actually, oh, hang on a minute. I can speak into this situation right now because I have the authority. I know who I am. But we might find, and I still do, I do need to remind myself, because let's face it, there's so many things out around about us, people's voices, people's expectations that will say the opposite. Or even our own expectations, or we see things that happen in our life and think, oh, there I go again, I've just bunged it all up again, and we forget who we are, and we will make mistakes, that's fine. But it doesn't take away our identity of who God says we are. So how do we rule and how do we exercise the dominion that God says that we have? Well, first, I've just been talking about really, we do it to ourselves. We exercise the authority over our own thought life. And that means we have to be self-aware. What is it? What are those inner conversations that we're having to ourselves, about life? Do we get up and think, oh no, it's just another day again. How am I going to get through? Or do we get up with thanksgiving and thankful to the way that God's made us and where He's placed us? And thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity that I get to be there for you, to shine for you. Thank you for your goodness and your goodness that's in me and that keeps flowing out to others. And when we are with others, to know that we have the authority to bring God's peace. Sometimes when we walk into a situation, it can be really humdrum, people are negative. You don't need to lower yourself to that. You don't need to be a part of what's going on. You get to bring the kingdom of God. You get to bring your identity of who you are, your authority, to bring the joy of the Lord. You get to bring peace where there's chaos. You get to bring love in the midst of strife. And so with that, you know, it's important to think about, what are my words? What am I saying? What could I be saying that could lift this whole situation to a space that is really pleasing to God, that reflects God's goodness in this time? We have the authority to come in and be a non-anxious presence and a peaceful presence wherever you go. We get to pray for people. We get to pray for healing and pray that situations will get better in people's lives, and pray with expectation, expecting God to intervene. You and I are here for a purpose to bring reconciliation and restoration to people's lives. And so this whole identity of king definitely helps us to do that. And now if we think about priest, what do we think about? Well, being in God's presence, we get to do that. We get to pray for people, intercede for people. As I've said, we get to be in God's presence to praise and worship, to serve him. And we're also, as priests, representing God's will and character to others. And so in that, as a priest, you know, you've spent time with the Lord. You've been praying for people. You're looking into his gaze. You become whom you behold. And now we get to bring that to others. His peace, his flourishing, his words of life. All that is good and pure as his priests. And you might see in scripture this description of royal priesthood. And that's a term that brings both king and priest together. So it, again, brings this unique part of our identity together, that we are both royalty and those who have access to God. In Revelations 1:5, it reads, "To him, Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, has made us a royal race, a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever." And in 5:10 in Revelations, it speaks of our ruling, not just now, but in an age to come. You know, God is getting us ready here on earth for our future roles too, to be ruling with him. You know, we're going to be judging angels and ruling in the age to come. And in 5:10 it says, "Jesus Christ has made them, us, to be a royal race, a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." So right now we're just practicing. We're getting it all together for our future roles in the coming age to come. Pretty amazing stuff, hey? Let's get practicing. And in 1 Peter 2:9, Peter brings us together again. "But you and I here, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So in Christ, we've been given our true identity for a purpose, to declare the goodness of God. How awesome. And I just want to finish with, again, considering that Jesus for us is our ultimate example. He embodies both of these roles, and we're called to emulate Jesus. Paul urges us to imitate Christ in Philippians 2, to have the same attitude as Jesus. Now, Jesus had the right attitude. Because he had the right attitude, because he was fully secure in his identity. He knew where he came from. He knew who he was. And because of that, he knew his identity. He had the right attitude. He had the right approach to this life, to his earthly life. And so we are called to be the same, to know our identity so that we can have the right attitude about ourselves, about God, about others, so that we can approach our life here in the way that we're designed to. You know, we can see that Jesus was conceived out of wedlock. Wow, a big no-no in that time, definitely. Yet this stigma never stifled him. So all the opinions of the society around him that would have been very negative, knowing the background, that didn't stick. That didn't stick to Jesus. He became a skilled carpenter, and yet this did not define him. You know, his profession, he didn't go around saying, oh, I'm a great carpenter, that's who I am. No, often we can do that. You know, we get our identity in what we do, but Jesus didn't do that. He grew up in poverty, and yet this did not restrict him. Jesus, we see, moved in great power, in love, in compassion for others. He wasn't held back in any way because he knew who he was. He could live beyond an earthly mindset. You know, last week, Toad took us into 2 Corinthians 5 about being a new creation, which means we get to see things differently. We don't see ourselves or see life as the world does, but we now have spiritual eyes to really see. And so in Philippians 2, Paul points out that because Jesus knew who he was, as he walked out his earthly life, he could walk in a life of servanthood, of humility and obedience to his Father. And because of all of this, he moves on, Paul does, to say, therefore, because, you know, Jesus is our great example. He knew who he was. And because of that, we have complete reconciliation and restoration to the Father. Therefore, to us, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this isn't asking us to be frightened or in fear of punishment, but it's saying, hey, God, we've been called into a great salvation, a fullness of life, identity and purpose. So let's be careful and intentional about how we partner and agree with what God's already done for us. For it is God who works in you by his Spirit to will and to act according to his good purposes, his beautiful purposes, that we would know him and have that fullness of life in him. So, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become, again, a process, blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars as you hold out the word of life. How wonderful again. Again, pointing out that we are the children of God and we are here for a purpose, to hold out the wonderful truth of who God is as we hold out the word of life. And it says we shine like stars in the universe. How glorious you are. Can I invite us all to stand as the worship team to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for us today. Lord, thank you for your wonderful promises and truth of who we are. And Lord, I pray, Lord, would you just work that in us by your Spirit today? Would you make that go deeper and deeper into our hearts, into our minds? Lord, that our mindsets would be renewed more and more as we focus on you, Lord Jesus, and all that you've done. That the reality is, God, that we are passing through this world, Lord. And so as we do, may we reflect who you are with greater authenticity and glory, Lord God. May we this week walk in greater confidence, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father and we get to be your kids and we get to have a go at this life in the Spirit that you've given us to do the best that we can, that we might please you. And Lord, you love to do life with us. Thank you that you're with us at every point. And so, God, today, may you come and encourage our hearts, Lord, as we grow as your children, Lord, in this space. We give you this time now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, let's thank God for the identity, purpose, and offer.